Recording.
All right. Welcome to the next edition of Brain Lazy Uncut.
Brain Lazy Uncut. Extra late, extra short edition.
Extra short? What are you, crazy?
Well,
you know. Can't make these assumptions.
Well, certainly we've got some diction problems. All right, so what's notable? Brain Lazy has achieved our...
A milestone.
A milestone. We've got our first media review.
Yeah.
Not video games, which we've been able to do for a while, because we're awesome. But now the studios have noticed us and started sending us stuff as well. And as a result, we're going to talk about it. So that they get the publicity that they so richly desire.
So do you want to fill in the audience at home?
Our faithful listener.
Exactly.
Yeah, we got Avatar, the 3-disc extended limited edition collector's edition thing.
Yeah, it's right here. It's the extended collector's edition. James Cameron's Avatar. This is the 3-disc DVD set. It's
yes.
Not the Blu-ray.
Not the Blu-ray. We don't rate that high yet.
No.
We get the DVD, and yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, we started checking out this.
The image quality
is
good. I'm not a connoisseur of
yeah.
image quality, but it looked good.
Yeah.
Sufficient.
We've seen the movie. We saw it when it was first released in theaters,
yeah.
So we weren't too interested in watching that again.
The movie again, yeah, we were familiar with it.
We were more interested in checking out the special features. And we checked out 3 special features. We checked out all of the...
new and alternate scenes.
New and alternate scenes that were included within the...
extended edition or director's cut.
Yeah,
also really
they're listed here. The special edition re-release and the all new three hour collector's extended cut. So on these 3 discs, there are 3 versions of the movie: the original theatrical release, the special edition re-release, and the all new 3 hour collector's extended cut with 16 minutes of additional footage.
Basically, you watch the 16 minutes of additional footage.
Over the course of maybe an hour.
Yeah, it took a while.
Yeah.
And as for the footage, I mean, there's some neat stuff. Most of it, I mean, as is usually the case with deleted scenes, it's, you know, little bits and pieces and bites and snags. There's a couple of plot points and side
yeah.
plots that were...
I was actually surprised at some of the things that weren't in the movie.
Yeah.
And I understand why... I don't agree with some things being removed from the movie, but I see why. There was a trend.
There was a trend. Yeah.
A noticeable trend.
There's a trend. Basically, and I'll say, when we review this, we're reviewing the DVD as a product as opposed to the movie as an entertainment item.
Exactly.
I think that Oreck and I are united in our just general apathy, toward the film. It wasn't really anything special for us.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Visually splendid.
Yeah, exactly.
But as a storytelling thing, it was... I'll tell you one thing that made both of us laugh is one of the deleted scenes... Well, yeah. Watch the documentary, and you'll see a guy do an impression of a seal at one point by mistake by saying our art direction. But there's a deleted scene that takes place in a schoolhouse. And they pick up a book. It's a Dr. Seuss book, The Lorax. And if you've ever read The Lorax, it itself is a heavy-handed indictment of industrialism versus environmentalism. And they pick it up in Avatar, which should have been called Avatar, : human beings are evil, we should all be more like Native Americans.
Or, you know, Na'vi.
Or Na'vi, yeah. They wear headdresses and they dance, you know, and they make the same noises. It's just... it's heavy-handed and preachy, and I didn't particularly enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah. Like we said, the visual effects were amazing.
Splendid, yeah.
And it was actually... we'll get more into this in a minute. But seeing how... where those visual effects came from, it was very interesting.
Yeah, so...
but...
the theme
yeah.
that we noticed with the deleted scenes was that generally, if a scene made the Na'vi seem less angelic or saintly, or it made the human beings seem more justified or at least reasonable, then the scene was removed. So that the disparity and cartoonish over-the-top exaggeration of everything that's wrong with human beings could be there.
Yeah.
Which is odd, because there's actually one extended scene...
I was going to mention...
Which showed off how awful we are and was not in the original theatrical cut.
Which one is this?
The extended new opening. It takes place on planet Earth.
Oh, yeah. That was actually interesting. That was one of my favorite alternate scenes, I think.
You get to see James Cameron's take on Earth however many hundreds of years later it is.
Yeah.
And it's very crowded, and we're all, you know, it's a crap sack.
Yeah. As it normally is.
As it normally is.
The future is good. You and I are some of the people that feel the future is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
The future is here.
The future is here. We're freaking out about it constantly. I have a 3D printer.
But when the future is portrayed in any movie, it always sucks.
Crap sack, always. I mean, yeah, it'll be crowded, but, you know, whatever. We'll colonize the moon. It'll be awesome. The moon has got the same surface area as Africa. So, let's get up there and do that.
But, so, coming back to the special features, in addition to the new and alternate scenes, this inclusion was actually one of my... Are you sniffing your foot?
I'm just touching my foot to my face.
Oh, okay.
That makes it better.
Did you listen to our last uncut?
Yeah. I had to take notes on it in order to give you a summary of what we talked about.
Oh, okay. How'd it come out?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good, okay. Just curious.
You
didn't
listen
sure.
to our last uncut?
Yeah, of course I did. Moving on.
I understand. So we have half of a loyal listener.
Moving on. So another of the special features that were included this time around that I actually enjoyed a lot were the deleted scenes.
Yeah,
and
not to be confused with the new and alternate scenes.
This is what actually threw me off at the beginning, but what the deleted scenes come down to, the new and alternate scenes are scenes that could have been in the movie. They were at the stage where the director just chose not to include them for one reason over the other. Or another. That was weird. Got my phrases mixed up there. The deleted scenes, though, however, were...
Not finished.
Not finished.
Before they added them to the movie, they decided they weren't going to be going into the movie, so why bother doing the effects?
Yeah. And the way... there was actually even an intro video that explained how to watch these scenes and understand what was going on.
It's like a shorthand before each scene telling you what should be there and isn't.
Yeah, and there were three stages of each scene... No, I'm sorry, not three stages of each scene, but there were three stages that you could see scenes in. The first one was motion capture,
the lowest level was motion capture.
Yeah. The next one was template.
Yeah, and the first one was finished. It was final
was it?
Or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. It was final then.
Yeah.
So motion capture was obviously the actors dressed in these ridiculous motion capture suits that looked like they had gotten measles or smallpox or something.
They have green dots painted all over their face, and they have this weird UV emitter to make them glow.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
That thing in front of their face isn't a microphone. When you see it from the other side, it's LED shooting UV rays at their face so that they fluoresce. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And they had some really extended scenes showing them off in these crazy outfits.
Yeah. It was really interesting to see a movie being shot like that.
Yeah.
And what I also really like, this is something that my girlfriend mentioned, seeing people react to things that weren't really there and working like that, it must be difficult, she said. And I completely agree. Working like that, not only working like that must be difficult, but I think it could be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because your imagination takes you there at that point.
It's a little getting used to, honestly, because you'd feel like a complete doofus.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is why everybody had to be wearing ridiculous outfits. I watched an interview with Will Smith one time, and he who's talking about how he's always always acting opposite a CG character. It's like you get really good at reacting to nothing. He was like one of the movies he was doing. It was a giant monster on the screen, but when they were filming it, it was a tennis ball on a stick. They just stuck a tennis ball on the end of a stick and held it up where the eyes would be, so you'd have something to stare at. I said they did the same thing for Dragonheart. They had two tennis balls on a stick, so they had both eyes.
The eyes, yeah. That was a good movie, Dragonheart.
Yes, it was.
Sad movie.
Sean Connery.
Kevin Costner, was it?
I think it was Kevin Costner.
I haven't seen that in years.
You know what it was dumb, by the way? Dragonheart was supposed to be... It's clear. It's in the commercials for it. They were talking, it's the last dragon. It's the last dragon.
Yeah.
And then they had a toy series, and there was like five or six different dragons.
Well,
like, now, hold
it's
on.
All about making money.
Well, I know it's all about making money, but you know what it's like? Scream 4 is coming out.
Yeah.
Now, who saw Scream 3? I did. I saw it in the theater.
I saw it with you.
You saw it I remember. Time. Yes. And the big deal about it was that like Scream 1 and Scream 2 were notable. Because the people in the movie were familiar.
I have to look up something related to this.
Go ahead. The people in the movie were familiar with scary movies. And were sort of... There was rules that you had to follow and you live by and survive longer. And then the third one was important because in a trilogy, which is almost certainly going to be the last in the series, anything can happen. All the rules go out the window. That was the driving force of the plot. And now that's part 4. So that whole point they were making, bogus.
Yeah.
It bugs me a little.
Oh, wow.
But just a little. It's a horror movie. It's not supposed to make too much sense.
I don't think what I was looking for is actually true. No, it is true. Okay. I did not realize, but most of the screens, at least the first one I know, was like this. But they have a star-studded female cast.
Yeah, well, that's the
way it was. Drew Barrymore, what's her face?
The other what's her face?
The other what's her face, and those other two girls, and all that. But
star-studded, I tell you.
This one, I knew that Kristen Bell was in it. She actually doesn't have, I'm looking at IMDb here, but she doesn't have a character name. But looking at the list, there's a ton more. Obviously, Neve Campbell and Courtney Cox, but Emma Roberts, who...
You think the fact she doesn't have a character name means that she's the killer?
I really hope I didn't spoil that for anyone. Well, you know, possibly spoil it, I guess. But Emma Roberts, I know her. I know the name. The name is familiar. Hayden Panthier was from Heroes. There's Alison Brie, which I'm a big fan of now. She's actually on the show Community on NBC. It's one of the most hilarious... Actually, I made you watch an episode.
Yes, you have made me watch an episode.
It's really good.
It's good. I don't watch anything regularly.
Yeah, I watch everything regularly.
I write stuff for a website and design things I'm never going to make. That's what I do.
Well,
I review games.
I have an hour bus ride back and forth, so...
I write stuff on my hour bus ride back and forth.
You don't have a bus ride. You refuse to have a bus ride.
A double train ride.
Yeah. Anyway. So Scream 4, yeah.
So let's backtrack, I suppose, back to Avatar.
Well, actually, I was... we could touch on the last special feature.
The documentary?
Yeah, what was it called?
Capturing Avatar.
Capturing Avatar, yes. And which is quintessential one they always throw on the release. The making of Avatar.
And it's a long making of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a feature length on the disc.
Exactly, yeah.
But, I mean, they were making Avatar for a long time.
Yeah. The Avatar was written, James Cameron said himself that Avatar was written 15 years ago.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be the movie after the Titanic.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like, well, we're doing Titanic, let's do Avatar, and then the special effects people were like, no, you can't do that. He's like, okay, to the future. Very few people know that James Cameron comes from the past. He has a time machine to go to the future to do the things he wants.
He does have white hair now.
He does have white hair now.
And we can start talking about our last uncut.
Okay, yeah, we'll just circle back to Back to the Future.
I can't wait for the Back to the Future Telltale.
Sure, we'll go with Telltale.
Telltale game. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, there's a Facebook game coming out.
It's out. I saw it. I didn't actually try it yet. Maybe we'll have to give that a shot.
Oh, you know, same people who are making... Oh, actually, you know, this is not related to that, but in terms of casual games and Facebook games, there's a company that's bought the rights, because they're on the crest of this wave, they bought the rights to Mr. Bean to make some Mr. Bean casual games for the phone, right?
Okay.
Same company, again, right on the very crest of this trend, Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Wow.
And apparently, Terry Gilliam is involved. Which makes sense, honestly, because if you're
going to
make
Terry Gilliam was the art guy, right?
Yeah. So if you're going to make a game, you're going to want to have to capture his style. So you'd want him on board. But the thing is, he's a really big indie guy. And you would think that a video game was completely anti-indie from his point of view. Especially a casual game.
Yeah.
But... You know what? There's indie game makers. Oh, actually, that's something we can talk about. Are you familiar with Show Me the Game?
No, I'm not.
I don't know if it's open yet, but it's an indie games portal. Basically, like, you know, you would go to a, you know, an Xbox portal to find out all the upcoming and current Xbox games. This is an indie games portal. It's not any one developer. It's all indie gamers.
Is it sort of like IGN, but for indie games?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you go there, and the way they're doing it is because there's no one running it, because it's just everybody sort of pitching into a common pool for marketing and media.
That's what the web is nowadays. You need it to have something successful, it needs to be community-driven.
So in order for it to happen, and nobody gets... top billing over anyone else, apparently there's never any spotlight. It's like randomly chosen who shows up when you first look on the page. through the magic of random numbers. So that's neat.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Indie games are some of the best games out there.
It's true. If you're interested, you can look on Brain Lazy right now. I wrote a thing about indie makers asking them to please sell out halfway just so they can make more stuff.
Or rent out
is what I was calling it, because I'm so very clever. Plus, it was easier to make a for rent sign, and there. I can't draw very well. Although that's going to be irrelevant, because pretty soon, perhaps, we'll be unveiling an art driven function of our site. We'll see.
Where are we with that?
Where are we with that?
I know prototypes have been made.
Prototypes have been made, but I don't know. I gotta...
It's tough to bring yourself...
I have to man up and say, here's something that sucks, I'm gonna show it to everyone. In the most judgmental format possible. Like, oh, these people will insult their own mother because their mother won't know, and now I'm putting up my crappy line drawings.
We're already about 20 minutes in.
20 minutes in? Let's do at least another 10.
Sure.
But yeah.
Oh, we were discussing movies, unless you had something else I wanted to ask.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Just the other day, there were 3 new trailers that were released. And I don't know if you've seen any of them.
I probably haven't.
So I might have an idea for what to do in the next few minutes. But 3 new trailers were released.
This is me punching my foot, by the way.
Cowboys and Aliens, Jon Favreau directed. You can get the idea of what it might be about.
You did a weird, like, he's this tall gesture where you say,
oh,
John
Favreau.
Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau, about yay high, you know.
I wonder how tall Jon Favreau really is.
He's 135
feet
tall.
Does IMDb have heights?
Sometimes on the
I'll have to take a look.
The trivia
but,
page.
To continue, though.
The bio page.
Cowboys and Aliens, directed by Jon Favreau, featuring Harrison Ford, and there it is, Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig, and there's a woman, Olivia Wilde, who I'm a big fan of. But that trailer has been out. Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds. And there was one more.
I don't know.
I can't remember either. I had it a moment ago.
That's what happens when you start recording at midnight.
Green Lantern, Cowboys and Aliens, and whatever it was. We'll have to come back. Your Highness, that was the other one.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, after that, not at all lengthy pause.
Pause? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is Brain Lazy Uncut.
Yes, this is Brain
Nothing
Lazy.
Nothing is hidden from our audience at home.
Brain Lazy lie to everyone. let's talk about three films, then. The Green Lantern.
Green Lantern, yeah.
Now, Ryan Reynolds is perfect for a lot of superhero roles.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the Green Lantern is one of them.
I would have liked to have seen Nathan Fillion, as I mentioned.
I don't really know who I would have wanted. I'm not a Green Lantern devotee.
Yeah. I mean, neither am I.
But
I just thought he would have been good.
Ryan Reynolds does, like, the snarker. He does
the
wisecracker.
Perfect for Deadpool.
He's perfect for Deadpool or
Flash
or, you know, there's a lot of characters like that. Yeah. I don't know that certainly the Green Lantern is not known for that behavior.
Yeah, exactly. Hal Jordan seems more serious.
Yeah, well, and again, maybe I'm wrong because I never really read those comics.
Yeah.
But that said, it looks pretty good. The other problem with it is it's good. It's good and it's bad. Extremely authentic in the way it looks, and when you are very authentic with a superhero, with a comic book, that is, you run dangerously close to it looking goofy.
Yeah, and that's it's kind of funny because most superhero movies nowadays don't go authentic.
They don't go hardcore authentic.
So
they sort of smooth the edges off. And this is very, very authentic. You get to see, like, the rest of the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
And they look... You're identifiable.
Yeah, they look...
You even see someone who looks suspiciously like Sinestro. But, so I'm not, like, floored by it, but cautiously optimistic for the film.
Yeah.
Cowboys and Aliens.
It's Ryan Reynolds, so I'm sure it's...
Oh, yeah, Ryan Reynolds is good.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not just saying that. He appeals to a lot of people, so I think it'll...
No, well, in terms
of
making money, the name Ryan Reynolds is going to pull in a certain demographic.
Yeah. It was funny because we remember him when he was just a guy at a pizza place.
Well, yeah, he wasn't important enough to have a character name in the title. It was just two guys, a girl, and eventually the pizza place wasn't even willing to be on the show anymore.
Oh, yeah, it was two guys and a girl, yeah. But it was that's where I caught notice of him, and
yeah.
I thought he was great.
Likewise.
But anyway, moving on. Cowboys and Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens. Now, when I first heard about Cowboys and Aliens, I really thought it was going to be a madcap almost. Like it was gonna be goofy and just action for action's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you watch the trailer,
especially with someone like Jon Favreau directing,
But if you watch the trailer, it seems like a legitimate sci-fi western.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't think there'd be too many of those.
And how freaking awesome does Daniel Craig come off in that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
In the same movie, and they're fighting aliens with Old West technology. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
Now, Cowboys versus Aliens.
And Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah, I thought it was...
Monsters versus Aliens. I want to see a crossover. Monsters and Cowboys versus Aliens. Or perhaps Monsters versus Cowboys versus Aliens.
What about the nerd-grossing movie of all time? Pirates versus Robots versus Ninjas.
That'd be good.
Versus zombies.
They'd all have to team up against zombies.
Yeah, probably.
Who would win? Pirates, ninjas,
I think ninjas
robots, zombies.
Pretty good. Pirates, I don't think, stand up very good.
It depends on how many ninjas there are. Because you know about the law of conservation of ninjutsu.
From Dr. McNinja?
No, from reality. Like, it's a trope. One ninja, killing machine. Many, many, many ninjas.
Oh, yeah.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah.
There is a finite amount of ninjutsu.
Yeah.
So, if there was a small group of ninjas...
I guess that's why it's Ninja Assassin, the movie.
Yeah.
Because there's one.
Because there's one.
So,
exactly.
He's amazing.
Anyhow, so there's that. It looks good. It looks legitimate and serious.
I need to see another trailer because they don't give off
too much. No, there's not as much to see.
But that sometimes that's great. Like,
it's tantalizing.
Yeah,
it's what you call a teaser.
Yeah. And then finally, there was an interesting movie. I don't know. We should have saved this one for last, but
you know, Your Highness, right?
Yeah, Your Highness.
Your Highness.
Danny McBride, James Franco, and did it say directed by somebody?
I don't know.
I'm sure it was directed. Oh, from the something of Pineapple Express.
Oh, Pineapple Express, yeah, okay. Well, okay, so how can I describe this film? It's Monty Python and the Princess Bride, you know?
Yeah, that's fairly good.
With, you throw in some Crawl, and maybe you end up with what that movie is.
Because
it's got high-end special effects.
Yeah,
like
which
really,
I was a little surprised at.
But it's also got almost, you know, it's got the current style of humor for something that would be a spoof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, honestly, you know what it is? This is very close to being what they should have been doing with all those movies. When they had action movie or whatever, and dance flick, and...
Yeah.
This is what should have been the result of those,
yeah.
Is, you know, a good take on a genre.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, remember this? Remember this from
to
reality?
Say, though, one of the first one of those movies, actually, after all the scary movies, it was all the scary movies, and then, what came after the scary movies?
I don't know, there was
whatever the case. That one I thought was one of the best. I loved that movie, Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
Basically, like, the first two Scary Movies and Scary Movie 4 were pretty good.
3 was good. 3 was one of my favorites, I think. I really
didn't like the first two.
The Wayans brothers.
And I
wasn't a big
two.
Fan of those.
At any point, some of the Scary Movies were okay. But then, I don't know one of the names of the guys that did Epic Movie and all that, but...
Epic Movie, yeah.
It's like they forgot that maybe there should be, an original thought, at least one, in a movie. It's not quite enough to just refer to things that already people have heard of.
Yeah.
Especially when you can't even figure out their actual names.
Yeah.
Some of the movies they were making fun of in the movies were just trailers when they were making the movie. So they had to make fun of what showed up in the trailer.
Yeah.
So, like, Kung Fu Panda, I guess they made fun of Kung Fu Panda in one of them.
Kung Fu Panda.
And they didn't know his name, so they just called him Kung Fu Panda.
Hmm.
And by the way, there was another one, in one of them where they make fun of Harry Potter and The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe as probably epic movies when they're doing that. And the kids from Harry Potter have to teach the kids from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe how to fight because they're all cutesy Disney. But I don't know if you've seen The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe or read any of the books, but they're practically in the Crusades.
Yeah.
It's a holy war that they're fighting.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, Disney is making the movie. That's the only thing we know because we cannot be bothered to figure anything else out. We're writing a stupid movie here. Ugh. I have a strong amount of hatred for that whole thing.
Yes. But getting back to... I guess there's not much more to say to Your Highness. It's medieval times.
It looks surprisingly good.
Yeah, yeah. I like the... I don't know who it is, but the villain in the movie.
Yeah. I'm sure that will be an enjoyable film.
Yes. And, Open Connect
was an awesome thing. We talked
awesome,
about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people who were making the shadow puppet thing was cool.
That was really cool.
Have you seen the one where somebody strapped it to the top of a Roomba and did a 3D model of the entire room?
Wow, no.
And then they made it take gesture recognition because it can do it can recognize a human body easily now because it can do depth.
Yeah.
They had the thing turns and looks at the guy and he points. And then it goes in the direction he pointed.
That's so cool.
Oh, so that's cool.
So wait, they hooked up the Kinect to a Roomba?
They strapped it to the top of a Roomba.
But they also had to, like, connect it to the Roomba for the Roomba to take orders from.
Oh, no, they strapped to a Roomba, and attached to the Roomba was also an Atom-powered mini-PC.
Wow.
It wasn't technically a Roomba. It was the iRobot iCreate platform, which is a Roomba without the vacuum attachment. Wow. You can buy this if you want to.
Man, this stuff makes me want to play with it so much.
Yeah, I know. What other cool stuff did OpenConnect do? They've got arbitrary. You can make any flat surface a multi-touch now. They call it arbitrary plane multi-touch.
Wow.
Using a projector, a computer, and a Kinect, basically you point the Kinect at the area you're going to be working on.
Yeah.
And then it looks at the screen, it knows the depth of everything there. And then you take a mouse and you sort of navigate over to the thing that you want to be your work surface, and you click 3 points on it, and 3 points define a plane, so boop, this is your work plane. Now do the end points, that's going to be the end of your screen. And you point off those four, and then the projector that's pointing at the same area projects the screen on there, and anything that touches that plane is an interface point.
That's
so either you
so
use
awesome.
your fingers, or if it's an entire floor, then you're using your feet.
You can basically make a piano anywhere.
You could.
That'd be pretty cool.
And yeah, so it's awesome. And this is, it's great because Microsoft was like, we do not approve of the idea of someone hacking this stuff.
Yeah.
And then Adafruit's like, 2,000. They're like, no, it doesn't count as hacking anyway because you're not altering the hardware. And Adafruit's like, 3,000. And someone says, here's my thing, how is it? And she's like, excellent, $3,000 for you, $2,000 to the EFF, who will defend you if Microsoft comes after you.
Nice.
And then all this awesome stuff comes out, and people are real excited, and then Microsoft's like, what? We designed it to be open. I mean, it was supposed to be flexible. It was our idea all along.
I do love what Microsoft is doing in their games division, Xbox Live, all that stuff. They're a little...
Microsoft as a company have not quite shaken off the evil corporate overlords aspect, you know? We're Microsoft.
So we discussed Avatar. We discussed some new movie trailers. And we discussed OpenConnect.
That's plenty.
I think... Oh, actually... Nah, we don't have to talk about that.
What?
I was just going to mention, I was talking to Fox the other day, and, are you familiar with the show Running Wild?
No.
It's,
No.
Okay.
Go ahead, describe.
It's, the next show that Mitch Hurwitz, who did Arrested Development, has done.
Oh, yes.
Starring Will Arnett, Kerry Russell, and David Cross. And I was discussing it with Fox, and I was actually surprised. He's a fan of the show. I had bad news for him. I believe it's been canceled.
As it would be.
Yeah. But it really is a hilarious show, and we were discussing it, and it turns out he really likes it as well. But... he mentioned why he thinks he doesn't like Arrested Development. And it's one of the reasons why he didn't love Running Wild. And that is David Cross.
Yeah. See, I think the reason these shows are failing is the whole concept of an ensemble cast is hard to carry. It's like, if your show has... a lot of really talented actors on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the problem of screen time. And there's the problem of budget. Those are the two big problems with an ensemble cast.
I don't know. Would you have said that the show has an ensemble cast?
Well, the reason I say it is because Arrested Development had absolutely an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And this is the progeny. I was going to say progenitor, which is wrong. Progeny is correct.
There you go.
I
heard you go for it.
This is the progeny of Arrested Development. So, and it's got a few. It was a carryover. It was starting to pull, and it was like it's the Family Guy to Arrested Development's. No, sorry, it's the American Dad to Arrested Development's Family Guy.
Yeah.
And as a result, it would no doubt attempt desperately to follow in the footsteps. They tried to get Jeffrey Tambor involved in one episode.
Yeah, that's right. And
Andy
Richter,
it was the Andy Richter
episode.
Over,
yeah. That would have been amazing. I would have been very happy.
So you can see where they were trying.
Andy Richter was great, though. that episode.
And I think that that's the fundamental problem with shows like that, is you have too much talent and not enough screen to go around.
Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Running Wild was on Fox, and they're known for
canceling good shows.
And canceling good shows, mishandling good shows, and all that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that there's no TV network anywhere that correctly handles anything, apparently.
You might be right.
I think it's look at NBC, and they're like, well, we've been number one. Think about this. When Seinfeld was on the air and must-see TV existed,
mm-hmm.
they were number one in prime time and in late night. And they stayed number one in late night for a long time, even after prime time died.
I see where we're going with this.
It's like, yeah, well, at least we got late night. We've always got late night.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decide, well, you know, it's time for Conan to move up. We don't want another whole fiasco like we did with Letterman and Leno and who's going to take over for Carson. So we're going to move him up on a timetable, and they moved him up, and they were like, he's not doing as well as we thought. And Leno's not working at all in prime time. I know, we'll take a show that's been an institution of television for 50 years and change it to a time slot it's never been at.
You seem somewhat passionate about this.
Yeah, no, it's just, I am passionate when amazingly stupid people are in charge.
Yes, yes. And the amazingly, it's the Dilbert principle. The amazingly stupid people are always in charge.
They get moved to the top, yeah. Because it's the position where you can do the least direct harm.
Yeah.
It is one of my pet peeves. I've got several pet peeves. We've got some grammar pet peeves. I, for some reason, dislike when people have allergies. And also...
you also dislike smart little girls on television.
I dislike sassy little girls on television.
Oh, sassy.
I don't care if you're smart, like smart Alec. I don't care, you know, whatever. Yeah. The point is, basically children in general, I hate them. Also puppies and rainbows. And I dislike idiots in charge.
That's fair enough. Speaking of idiots in charge...
Basically, the shorter list is things I do like, which is basically bacon and things you can put bacon on. So if I was to make a Mobius strip out of bacon?
You'd be infinitely happy.
Yeah.
Joe's going, Decoy is going to his happy place.
Ow.
Where he can get injured.
Oh, Mobius bacon strip.
But speaking about Mobius bacon strips.
That's going to be a comic.
Speaking of Mobius bacon strips, Avatar.
Yes, yes.
We came full circle.
Speaking of Mobius bacon strips, Mobius bacon strips start and end in the same place, just like us talking about Avatar right now at the very beginning.
See what I did?
Yay! We pulled it back around to the beginning again.
Figuratively, or
figuratively,
whatever.
Yes. Using a potent metaphor, we have gone from bacon Mobius strips back to Avatar in one step, 1 degree of separation.
So what do we want to say about Avatar in closing? I mean, we can't just say Avatar and assume that's it.
Oh,
say that's it.
One of the scenes that was not made into the film, the deleted scenes, was like...
Are you going to mention that big one that we were surprised at?
No, I was going to mention the Lawnmower Man one.
Yeah, that
you know
was
why?
Weird.
Because he eats a crazy worm, which may or may not have tasted like bacon.
There you go.
Yay!
Finn.
We did it. Thanks for listening to this astoundingly stupid thing. And join us next time.
Where we explore space.
Yeah.
The end.